You're listening to Powder Radio, brought to you by Powder Magazine. Hey there, Powder people, and welcome to another edition of the Storytellers Podcast. We're here on Powder Radio. I'm your host, Sam Taggart, and today we're sitting down with the writer of one of Powder's most successful and downright hilarious columns published over the years. I'll be speaking with Hans Ludwig, the voice of the jaded local. Now, Hans is a man who's lived in ski towns all his life, who feels at home in the mountains and hardly anywhere else. He's been doing this since 2009, and it's hilarious. It cuts through the crap of the ski industry, the marketing ploys, dump alerts as Hans calls them, the sponsorships, the seriousness of skiing. The jaded local column bites at the honest and often hilarious truths you find in communities that surround ski hills. So now let's hear from Hans about how the column started, how it's evolved over the years, and today's conversation on the Storytellers. I'm excited to have Hans Ludwig, the jaded local. Some would say the jaded local, but he's the writer of the jaded local column. He's based out of Mammoth. And he's been doing a lot of skiing this winter. Hansi, how are you, man? How has the snow been?
The whole town is covered in snow. There's a lot of buildings and stuff. And last week, you couldn't see, like, some of the streetlights were getting buried. Like, 20-foot tall streetlights were disappearing into the snowbanks.
Are people skiing on each other's roofs yet?
I'm sure people, there's a lot of people on roofs. And what they're doing is shoveling because buildings are collapsing in town. And a lot of buildings are definitely in danger, and there's every snow shoveler and snow removal company in town is booked for months. And actually, the town just declared that we are a disaster area because they're trying to get federal aid.
Wow, we need more shovelers.
Yeah, we need more shovelers, and the big issue now is there's no place to put snow. So the town is literally trucking it out 24/7 in huge semi-trailer dump trucks. So I don't know what that's costing, but it is going to add up to a lot.
It will. But yep, that's a problem that can happen in ski towns across the country. It's happening in Jackson, the Sears store in Jackson. The roof just collapsed there. The resort was closed for up to a week. These massive storms have been coming in all over the place. And that's a good thing for a local. You can get some great turns in. And that's something you kind of capture in this column that you've been writing since 2009. You and Matt Hansen, Powder's editor at large, had this idea to put out a regular piece where a local's voice could be heard. You know, that person who is sitting at the end of the bar every night, or the person you see skiing through the trees. You know that person who's at the mountain more than anyone. You know, it gives them a voice, and it's a humorous take on all these shenanigans that go on in a ski town.
And I think it has to be because, you know, a lot of the reason that the jaded local column works is that most of the ski media or outdoor media is really romanticizing or marketing, whether they know it or not, sort of a lifestyle and certain ideas about living in a ski town. And the reality is that most people in a ski town are hustling, and most ski towns in America now are pretty challenging places to live and just get by.
It's true.
So it doesn't look like a Patagonia catalog. It looks like you're working two jobs and your roof leaks, and you know, it's a hustle, and it's not glamorous, and it's not the way that I think I wrote about it in a column this year, just the idea of when you're, people are always on the lift line, when I'm riding chairlift, people are always like, oh, do you live here? And blah, blah, blah. And they're like, wow, that must be so cool. And it's like, yeah, it is.
But my roof leaks, so.
It's not actually that cool. And what's really, to be honest, I mean, what it's taught me is what's really cool is making enough money to be able to go skiing as a tourist.
Yeah.
Is cool. You know, that's where it's at. Like, living in a ski town is, unless you have a trust fund, is probably not something to romanticize.
Have you ever told those people on the chairlift that you aren't from around here, just to avoid that kind of praise?
Avoid that conversation altogether? No, I try to be nice to tourists. I mean, for sure. I don't think I try to be nice to tourists. I you know, people are on vacation having a good time. I don't need to vibe them.
Yeah, they're there at the mountain with you.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm in a cranky mood or something, but typically I try and be nice to people and be straight up with them.
Yeah, cranky moods happen. And skiing most often fixes that cranky mood.
But like, you know, if you don't, if you're bummed about tourists, you probably shouldn't hang out in a tourist town and be on a ski area. Right. You know what I mean? That's how I've always figured. Just like, well, that's an easy problem to solve, but not if you live in a tourist town.
Yeah.
Now, you know, people are so trained. Everyone's on the internet and every ski area is like, dump alert. Come on off and get some. And
yeah.
And people do. And so like, that's what's been crazy here during this storm cycle is we've had this near disaster. You know, it's almost been like living through a flood. And people have lost their homes and we've had people have lost their power and this, that, and the other thing. But the tourists, there hasn't been a break in that. So the town's been really busy because everyone's like, oh, I heard it snowed so much. And it's been sort of bizarre.
Yeah, it happens. This influx of people, you know, you hear about it so easily and so readily. You scroll in the morning and if you live within driving distance, hell, you might as well make the trip.
Yeah. And it's really weird because a lot of tourists, most of them, they've been trained. They understand that powder is good.
Yeah.
And so they get that. And so they come up. But in reality, for most people that I see, powder is bad. And stormy weather is bad. It means you're going to get stuck and your lifts aren't running. And, you know, you're going to struggle in this new snow. Like they should be putting out like bluebird alerts for the tourists and be like, it's going to be nice weather this week.
You can
with
learn
firm,
to ski.
Groomed snow. Yeah, like. Come you can have down. Fun instead of, because people come up here when it's storming and they don't get a lot of skiing done, but they do get stuck and they do have, you know, challenges that they weren't expecting.
But the jaded local calm is this honest connection to all of this. It provides this truly clear insight into how these ski towns operate. And it's humorous.
I mean, the humor is just humor is whenever there's like a difference between reality and expectations or the way that we want to think about reality, that's where humor is. Cause you're exploiting some kind of like where things don't actually make sense. And so a lot of it is just me looking for that and seeing it around me in this ski town and the other ones that I've worked in. I just think it's built in because skiing's so ridiculous in the first place. Skiing's such a silly thing. And silly activity that it's only one step away from comedy already.
Okay, so what makes it silly?
Well, unless you are a Mongolian hunter using traditional methods, no one needs to ski. No one's really doing it for transportation or utility. It's a recreational thing and you slide uphill and slide downhill or ride chairlifts and slide downhill. A lot of people get hurt, you blow out your knee. You do this, that, and the other thing. Costs a lot of money. You wear silly clothes. And you don't get anything out of it in the end. There's nothing, you know, it's the point is the activity itself and the activity is silly.
Yeah, just fleeting memories of silliness.
Mm-hmm. And it's freedom and the same reason it's fun to jump into a lake or to jump on a bed when you're a little kid. It's just that moment, that feeling in your stomach of like, whoa, accelerating. And
yeah, jumping on a bed flying. As you get older. It just doesn't have the same effect.
It's not the same, yeah. No, they should have higher performance beds for adults.
Bed seems so big back in the day.
Yeah. But I think it's natural. And if you look I'm sure you've checked out some of the older Powder magazines, but Powder was founded by a couple of clowns.
Yeah.
And they're really still clowns. Silly. They're still clowns and they're really silly. They're very serious about being clowns.
I think that's a trait of the best clown.
Yeah, they take being a clown and what they do very seriously. And I felt like that was something that for quite a while, like in the 90s, Powder did not live up to that. Like they lost it somewhere and it got more serious and people started getting real serious about skiing and like, oh, pro skiers and this, that, and the other thing. And they forgot that, I mean, for years, Powder was just clowning around. Total just good times, making fun of stuff. And it was a counterculture magazine. And they were reacting to the kind of mainstream ski world at the time. But a big part of that was humor. And I felt like that, as did I think Matt and DT, before the column started, I think Powder really was needing that.
We need to bring back that essence, that pure.
There should be just some absurd stuff in every issue. There should be absurd stuff. And just pictures of people skiing in silly one pieces, that's not what I'm talking about. You know what I mean?
Of course. And and part of that is kind of the evolution of this column, which has been iterations of, you know, a regular op-ed piece, letters to the editor, even fake syllabi for college classes on tram theory. It's evolved from just words on the page, like you're saying.
Well, I think a lot of that absurdity is there. Like, if you really read a rental form, there's some absurd stuff. It's absurd that you have to, much legalese to just get a pair of skis. You're signing a lot away, and it's a kind of a, when you look into that, it's kind of a creepy system that definitely does not favor the consumer, I would say.
No.
Like, if you actually get injured by someone's negligence, you're going to have a hard time. Anyway, there's a lot of just inherently absurd. Skiing is an absurd thing, yeah. And the stuff that it generates around it are absurd things. So it's not that hard to just turn up the dial one or two notches to take it to satire.
Of course. I mean, you're flying through the sky on a chair with strangers.
Yes, with giant knives on your feet.
Exactly. What have been some of the pieces that have stood out to you along the way? I know there's been, you know, almost 50 columns or 50 plus columns posted, at least on the web, maybe more in the magazine. They range in purpose and creativity. What have been some moments that continue to resonate with you?
I don't know. There's a couple. Sometimes some of those columns appeared kind of fully formed, just a couple of them. And that was really cool just as a writer to have something fall into your lap like that.
Yeah, it just wrote itself in a certain way.
Yeah, sometimes you just have you got the right topic and the right voice, and it's automatic. It's like an equation, and the work comes out of that, and that's super cool. For me, the things that really stand out are the ones where the art director or David Reddick, our art master and photo master, the ones where they are able to take it to the next level. So it's not just a bunch of words on a piece of paper, but there's an illustration or a photo that goes with it that really takes it to that next level of, you know, where the photo comments on the column a little bit. I just mean I wrote a column really early on that was in pretty bad taste, but it was about the voice was a guy in a ski town who's kind of a dick who is calling his buddy to let him know, hey, I slept with your girlfriend last night, which is a thing that happens in ski towns or small towns. And that was great just that they ran it. It definitely no ski magazine would ever run that story or column or whatever it was.
A confession.
It wasn't even really, a confession. It was like this guy telling his buddy like, hey, I'm sorry, I slept with your girlfriend last night, but it's not a big deal. This shit happens. It's okay.
Yeah, you're telling me it's not a big deal.
But it's like, listen, this is how it is. I know you're stressed about it, but
it already happened.
She's not going to be your girlfriend. Yeah, like you are in this world now. Anyway, Reddick found a photo of three skiers all kind of skiing right next to each other. I think it was in Japan, in the trees, in pretty dense trees. And they're all heading for the same gap. And you can see that three skiers are going to go head into that gap, but maybe one or two is going to make it through. And I just thought that made that column, it just did it for me. And that was really inspirational just to be like, wow, this is what it could be, you know, with a cool photo or a little artwork.
Sure.
And that was really inspired. That really helped me realize like, oh, I can take this to another place and just work with the art department. And so when I get to do that, that's the most satisfying stuff because it's more than just a column, man. There's art and there's design is a part of it. I don't think it's about like finding enemies or like, you know, it's real easy to sort of take a stance that's, how do I say this? Just knee jerk. Oh, like the ski core is bad or this, that, or the other thing. I'd rather go after sort of the way that we look at things, if that makes any sense. So I don't think anyone's like, it's not like the marketing department's the enemy.
Right.
It's more like we are if we believe everything that a marketing department says, because their job isn't to tell us the truth.
They're just telling us it's snowing.
Yeah, they're just sending out dump alerts.
dump alert. You know,
they're doing their job. But if we respond like robots to those dump alerts, maybe that's the issue.
It's interesting, too.
You know what I mean?
You know, talking about the social media and the marketing, some of the most interacted with posts on Powder's website are these jaded pieces. You see the most comments on them on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. People love this stuff.
What's been really cool is I have had the experience a couple times of been traveling, met someone, got invited to their house or whatever, and there's a column on their refrigerator. And that's super cool. That's when I'm like, okay, that resonated. A Facebook reaction, like, dude, I don't even...
Not even a flip on the radar.
Yeah.
But a fridge post, it's amazing that multiple people have had these pieces on their fridges.
It's like ski patrollers and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and that's my, I don't have a specific target audience or anything, but I really want it to, if it works for a ski patroller at a ski resort where they do avalanche control, that's my goal. I really should make sure to call out and appreciate both former editor-in-chief Derek Taylor and editor-at-large Matt Hansen, who allowed the Jade Local to happen and had that faith. And also just, they let me go pretty wild and they never censored me or... maybe one they should have, which is really cool. You just don't see that a lot in the media world these days. That was on those guys. I need to recognize the great Brad Holmes. For the listeners that might not know him, hopefully there aren't any, but Brad Holmes, one of the greatest American skiers ever. He's from South Lake Tahoe. He made the U.S. freestyle team as a mogul skier at age 15. And I think might have gone to the Olympics at like 16 or 17 or something. Super badass, one of the first kind of pro skiers in a lot of the early MST movies. But for a while, he wrote for Freeze magazine when that existed. And Brad had sort of a Jaded Local kind of column. He was making more fun of like the pro skier scene. They basically just gave him a page and he inevitably did humor. The real inspiration was he did one that was accompanied by photos of him in full backcountry equipment, and he's sort of trying to skin around on like handrails in a city park somewhere. And it was about like urban ski mountaineering. And he was just making fun of ski mountaineering mostly. But that, it was like, oh, wow. And, but Brad Holmes definitely gets some credit for the Jaded Local because he showed me that it was possible. Look for people taking themselves seriously and make fun of that.
Right, because you know what? If you're taking yourself seriously, then something's going wrong.
Yeah, if you're doing that with skiing, unless you're racing on the World Cup, you need to step back.
At 90 miles an hour, things get pretty serious.
Yeah, those guys can be serious. Everyone else should have some levity in their ski experience. Levity is crucial. Yeah, you want to wrap it? You want to wrap it on that? I probably won't say anything. I won't say anything more articulate.
It was beautiful. Hansi, it's been great having you on the Storytellers talking about the Jaded Local.
What an incredible experience.
An incredible experience it was. Thank you, Hans, for your wisdom and for the reminder to take levity with us into the mountains. Thanks for your continuing contributions to Powder Magazine to make the Jaded Local come to life, and for always keeping us laughing at ourselves. Be sure to tune in next week for more of the Storytellers Podcast right here on Powder Radio. You can find the show at Powder Radio's home base, audioboom.com/channel/storytellers, or on iTunes, just search the Storytellers. Thanks again for listening. I'm your host, Sam Taggart, and we'll catch you next time.